Welcome to the Oldie Magazine's recordings of our literary lunches at Simpsons on the Strand. Noble Caledonia, proud sponsors of the Oldie Literary Lunches. David Kynaston, On Modernity Britain, Book 2, A Shake of the Dice, 1959 to 1962. David Kynaston returned with another volume of insights into the inner workings of the intergenerational post-war Britain. Lessons learned from a fading decade are subsumed into the dawn of an oncoming one, an insightful, detailed portrait of a nation in flux.
It's time to time travel back to the late 50s, early 60s, and I won't perhaps be the only speaker today inhabiting that time. Modernity Britain is the title of the recent volume that I've written, and as the title would suggest, a time of great and quickening change, social, cultural, economic, even political. And I thought we'd enter that change today through, if you'll humour me, a quiz. I'll ask five questions, no shouting out. Everything happened between 1959 and 1962, and then when I give what I hope are the correct answers, I'll just say a little bit about why they helped to illustrate a larger theme of change in the late 50s and early 60s. So, no consulting, no shouting out. Question one. Potato crisps. The first flavoured crisps came out in the early 60s. What flavour were they? No shouting out? What flavour were they? Okay. Second question. Wrestling on television, Saturday afternoons. Kent Walton, that seductive mid-Atlantic accent. What were his three words of welcome each week to his viewers? Always the same each week. Thirdly, who on any questions one Friday evening in 1960 said the following about which novel? Well, I did attempt to procure a copy of this book so that I should read it through in case anyone asked a question tonight. I got through it in 3 hours and 20 minutes. That was because I was not anxious to linger on it at all. Who said that about which novel in 1960? Question four. Which, this is 1961 now, which white journalist based in Bristol wrote this about the Bristol Omnibus Company? On the Thursday before Easter, a black friend of mine applied for a job as a conductor. He asked to see the personnel manager and was told to come back after the holidays. But, he told me, they said there were no vacancies anyway. 5 minutes later, I applied for the same job. I was told that the conductor's school was full, but I could come back after the holiday when there would be vacancies, and I could then take the course. A clue, this Bristol-based journalist in 1960, still alive, still writing, a very notable figure on our literary landscape, no longer a journalist. And the final question, question five, quote from Harold Macmillan's diary. Macmillan, of course, was Prime Minister in the early 60s. Quote from his diary, quote, "The President of the Academy led a deputation of architects, artists, critics, and noblemen who all said this was a splendid, indeed a wonderful, work of art. It must not be lost, whatever the cost." But of course it was demolished. What was it? A clue. Half of the stones were dumped in a tributary of the River Lee. So a little bit of answers and context now. I don't know whether, is Jeremy, is there a prize for anyone who gets 5 out of 5? No prize, no. Okay, question one, the potato crisps, I think we all knew. I think we can shout out now. Which were the flavour, what was the flavour? Cheese and onion. Cheese and onion. And sorry. And I mentioned that one very briefly. Of course, it was a time of greater affluence, of consumerism underway. Harold Macmillan's famous Never Had It So Good, but won the Tories a landslide in 1959. Sharply increasing car ownership, the American phenomenon of supermarkets, and so on. And all that was really underway by the late 50s, early 60s. We're still living, I guess, in that world now. Let's move on to the wrestling question. Kent Walton, his three words of welcome each Saturday afternoon on ITV. Oh, not a bad guess. Greetings, grapple fans. Greetings, grapple fans. And the serious bit between the questions, a time of changing working class culture, changing popular culture in this context of affluence. Cinema, football attendances in decline, pubs in decline, even the News of the World in decline in circulation. Wakes Weeks in decline. Instead, the growing popularity of lager and filter-tip cigarettes and other upmarket things like that. And arguably, the sort of working class way of life starting to be, as it were, more privatised, more working class husbands not going to the pub, staying at home, the beginning of so-called companionate marriages and all that. Did values and the sense of class identity change as a result? Well, today I think we'll leave that to the sociologists to argue about. Thirdly, the quote about the novel. Well, the novel's easy. It was, of course, Lawrence's Lady Chatterley's lover, and it was Any Questions at the time of the Lady Chatterley trial, November 1960. The speaker was not Mary Whitehouse, It was Margaret Thatcher, yeah. She's good. And she'd only been an MP for a year, just over a year at that point in November 1960. She was always well prepared. It was a time in the late 50s, the early 60s, particularly the early 60s, undermining of traditional morality and authority. And of course, the Lady Chatterley trial was peculiarly emblematic of that. And interestingly, public opinion was very much on the side of the jury, quite decisively in favour of the verdict that the unexpurgated edition have a mass market paperback. Two or three other things briefly on this theme of the undermining of traditional morality and authority. I think the film of Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, based on Alan Sillitoe's novel, is important. Albert Finney, that wonderful performance as the young machine operator, Arthur Seaton. Don't let the bastards grind you down, he says at the outset. All I'm out for is a good time. So not much of the old Puritanism there. Viv Nicholson, I think, is worth mentioning. Spend. When she won all that money, and it shocked people at the time, was controversial. If this had come to a tie break, the quiz, I was going to ask the question, who handed her the check? Monotonously, I'm afraid. And we haven't been preparing this before, we really haven't. It was Bruce Forsyth handed her the check. And both Viv Nicholson and Bruce Forsyth still with us. And I guess just briefly on this theme, Beyond the Fringe. Beyond the Fringe, attacking the sacred cows, politicians, church, armed forces, and so on. And both the Queen and Harold Macmillan did rather gamely go to it. Fourth question, the journalist, the Bristol journalist. Anyone? Tom Stoppard is correct. Yes. He wasn't a journalist for much longer. He wrote Rosencrantz and Guildenstern in the mid-60s, but it's an interesting source. Just to say at this point briefly on that theme of race and immigration, the numbers were sharply up from the new Commonwealth in the early 60s. There was general hysteria in the press, or large parts of the press, legislation in 62 starting to restrict numbers. And inevitably, I found as I was researching and writing about that aspect of the period, it was hard not to think about some of the current debates and so on, and about the wish of some people that we should return to being as the phrase is, a tight little, right little island. But we'll see what happens. I think you all know the fifth one, the building that got demolished, was indeed the Euston Arch. And that's been remembered as emblematic of a whole whirlwind of destruction that happened and was underway by the early 60s. Often I have come to think with very negative and even pernicious consequences. And I'd like to finish, if I may, with one paragraph from my recent book in which I try to sort of sum up my feelings about this. And I've tried in this book, I think for the first time in a mainstream history account as opposed to a specialist architectural or planning or whatever study, to bring this story into the mainstream. That's what I've tried to do. I've tried to identify also who some of the villains were, whether architects or developers or planners, and so on, trying to tell that story. It's a complex story, and it's not a black and white story, but it's certainly an interesting and, I think, an important story. So if I could just finish by reading this passage, if I may. Summer 1961, 10 years after the Festival of Britain and officially sanctioned modernity. That modernity, no longer soft, instead hard, now unstoppable. Streets in the sky in Sheffield, London's Euston Arch and Coal Exchange poised to go. Farewell the Victorian barracks of Aldershot. Birmingham's inner ring road laying waste to all before it. T. Dan Smith ready to turn Newcastle into the Venice of the North, but ring roads, not canals. The firing gun started for Blackburn's comprehensive redevelopment. Plans afoot for Glasgow's brutalist red road blocks to be the highest dwellings in Europe. The heart being ripped out of Bradford. Slums being cleared that needed to be cleared. Slums being cleared where there could have been renovation and human continuity. Communities torn asunder. High rise everywhere. Old people trapped. Mothers and small children trapped. An urban world of compulsory purchase and developers' boom time. Of good intentions compromised by hubris, by greed, by the lure of size for size's sake. John Betjeman, almost a lone voice of protest, most people shrugging their shoulders and mutually accepting destruction as the inevitable price of progress. You don't know what you've got. Summer 1961, a shake of the dice and landing who knew where.
The Oldie Magazine Recordings. Noble Caledonia, proud sponsors of the Oldie Literary Lunches. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for the Oldie 2015. Theoldie.co.uk.